Look tonight to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. The title of my message this evening is Jonah's Prayer of Faith. Jonah's Prayer of Faith. Jonah chapter 2, and reading the first 9 verses. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah's Prayer of Faith. In reading this prayer, I thought of several New Testament scriptures which speak of faith. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we read, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jonah believed. Jonah believed that God is. We see that as he cried unto the Lord. And not only did he believe that God is, but Jonah believed that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what we see in his prayer, a diligent prayer. And then another verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, which says, Who against hope believed in hope? Abraham had no hope. In his body or in his wife's body. He was 100, almost 100 years old, and she was about 90. He had no hope whatsoever that they could possibly have a son. But the scripture says, against hope, he believed in hope. And Paul goes on in that passage in Romans 4 to say that Abraham was strong in faith. Jonah, humanly speaking, surely he had no hope of being delivered from the belly of this fish. But he believed in hope. Just like Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope. Jonah's prayer of faith. Now, when we read this prayer, think about the condition that Jonah was in. We also think about this passage in Psalms 107. If you'd like to turn here, this is a favorite psalm because we have several conditions that men find themselves in. Then they seek the Lord. And each one of them ends with these words, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the sons of men. But let's read here in Psalm 107, beginning with verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships. That's Jonah, right? He went down to the sea in a ship, fleeing to Tarshish. They do business in great waters. That's what he was doing in his prayer. He was doing business in great waters. These are the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. Jonah had gone through that, hadn't he? God caused that wind to blow and the storm to come up, that tempest we read about in chapter 1 of Jonah. The ship was certainly going to be broken up, and the mariners, the sailors, would all drown in the sea. They mount up to the heaven, that is the waves. They go down again to the depths. A friend of mine who was in the Navy in World War II told about being in a cyclone one time on a ship and how high those waves were. And you would go up and then come down just as hard as you could. That ship would hit the water again. Mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Jonah, he was in trouble. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being inside the belly of a fish? It had to be dark. In the midst of the sea. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Those sailors, I'm sure they staggered as they picked him up to throw him overboard. They were at their wits' end. They had no other alternative. When they cast lots and that lot fell upon Jonah, even though they rowed with all their strength, they had no alternative. He had to be thrown into the sea. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto the desired haven, their desired haven. Now here's the last word. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that we, that you, that I, that we would really praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. We think of his work of salvation, don't we? His wonderful works that God, out of his great love, would give his Son to save, to redeem men and women like you and I. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works, for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now let's go back to Jonah chapter 2. One of Matthew Henry's comments on this passage is, and I quote, "Here is a fierce struggle between sense and faith, but faith had the last word and came off conqueror." So I want to take these two things, sense and faith. And let's look at them in this light, that Jonah, the sense that he had, and then his faith. There are three things. First, there's three things about what Jonah sensed, what he sensed. First, he sensed that he was afflicted. Notice that in verse 2, Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2. And he said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." He sensed that he was afflicted, that he was in affliction. And that word, which is translated hell in the remainder of the verse, when he said, "Out of the belly of hell cried I." You know, that's that word that is also translated grave in many places. And he describes his grave. He was in his grave as far as he was concerned. and he describes his grave. This is what he sensed, that he was in his grave, and his grave was in the deep, a place where the billows and waves rolled over him, over his head. The great fish took in water. We may imagine when he speaks about the weeds, the great fish took in water, and with the water came in seaweed and wrapped around the prophet's head. He sensed he was in affliction. He was in affliction. He sensed that he had descended to the bottoms of the mountains or the floor of the ocean, the sea. In his journey in the belly of the fish, he saw no way, no way of escape. All doors of hope was barred. Notice he says, the earth with her bars was about me. It was as though he was buried alive. That would be an awful thing, wouldn't it? We've read of cases years ago when people would be buried alive, be in some kind of a trance or something like that. I remember reading a book entitled, I believe, The Log Cabin, and it was a story of the beginning of Princeton University, where men were trained for the ministry, and one of the men who was very prominent in that, they thought he died, and they had him laid out ready to have his burial, and he sat up. He wasn't dead at all. But if they had waited, if he had stayed unconscious for a little bit longer, and we've all seen pictures where they take the mirror and put it up to the person's nostrils to try to see if there's any life, any breath. Buried alive. That's what Jonah, he sensed that he was in affliction. Affliction of the worst kind. And I thought about the fact he was a prophet of God. He lived, we saw the time in which he lived. He may well have read the book of Job. He may have read about the fact that Job was on that dunghill scraping his body with those potsherds, and everything that he had owned, all of his riches, all of his things in this world, and his family, everything was taken away from him, but God restored doublefold. He may have read that. He may have read about Joseph being sold by his brothers going down into Egypt in the first book of Genesis, and how he was forgotten there in the prison only to be delivered and to be made the prime minister of Egypt. He may have read the Psalms where David, fleeing for his life, speaking of himself like an animal being hunted by King Saul in the cave of Adullam. But all of these men that I've just mentioned, Job, Joseph, David, all of them, the Lord delivered them out of their affliction. But he never read of anyone being delivered out of the belly of a fish. He had never read that before. Sense told Jonah, there's no hope. There's no hope for me. The second thing about his sense, he knew that it was the Lord. It was the Lord's doing. You notice in verse 3 the words thou and thy. Thou hadst cast me into the sea. Thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Jonah certainly knew better than to attribute his circumstance to bad luck or some accident. It was just an accident that when they threw me overboard, a fish opened its mouth and swallowed me. No, Jonah knew better than that. He knew that the men had thrown him overboard, but the first cause was God himself. He knew that ultimately it was the Lord who had cast him into the sea. Think about David's words in Psalm 39. Let me read these to us. Psalm 39, verses 9 and 10. David said, I was dumb. In other words, he was speechless. I was speechless. I opened not my mouth. Now notice, because, Lord, you did it. You did it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Jonah sensed he was in affliction, and he knew, he sensed that it was the Lord. It was the Lord. Now, God is not the author of sin. We all know that. He is not the author of sin. But he is the author of evil. And when we say evil, we're not talking about moral evil. We're talking about things that afflict man. Nothing happens without God's will, without God's purpose. After the message last Wednesday evening, Brother Groover told me, he said, you know, that book is a scary book, isn't it? I never had thought of it like that. But it is, when you stop and think about how God deals with people. Now, he dealt with Jonah. As far as sense is concerned, Jonah knew that he was afflicted, and he knew that it was God's hand that was against him, God's hand who was afflicting him. And number three, the last thing about his sense, he concluded the worst about himself. In verse 4, he said, I am cast out of thy sight. Now, if we could have been with Jonah or have spoken to Jonah when he uttered those words, I am cast out of thy sight, we might have asked, but Jonah, isn't that what you wanted? Isn't that what you desired when you bought that ticket and got on ship to flee from the presence of the Lord? Isn't that what you wanted? To flee from the presence of God? You know, there's a proverb, Proverbs 14 and verse 14, which says, the backslider shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider shall be filled with his own ways. The chastisement for the backslider many times is giving him his will, his way. Jonah had it. He got what he wanted, didn't he? He wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord, from the sight of God. Well, now he said, I'm cast out of thy sight. Notice in verse 7, he says, my soul fainted within me. Literally, it is my soul enfolded itself within me. My soul enfolded itself within me. Now, I thought about that, and I thought about on the news sometimes, I've seen this, you've seen this. This is what came to my mind. When there's a multi-story building that they want to bring down, and so they set the charges of explosives in certain places, and they film it, and we see that the building, those charges go off as they're timed and in places so that the building, it just comes down upon itself. That's the object, right? To come down upon itself, not to fall out into other areas. And that's what Jonah says here. My soul is enfolded within me. This is how Jonah felt. Nothing to lean upon. Nothing without to lean upon. And nothing within to lean upon. As Paul said, without were fightings and within were fears. Jonah said, my soul fainted in me. Sense told Jonah that he had no one to blame but himself. He had no one to blame but himself. His soul enfolded within him. But now let's look at Jonah's faith. And really, I pray God will help me to bring out these four things about Jonah's faith, that we will all be impressed with his faith. I don't know if you've ever considered, but we see a man of great faith here. First of all, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Notice that in verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. The fact that he prayed at all shows that he had faith. You know, in the book of Job, we're told that one mark of a hypocrite, this question is asked, he will not always call upon God. That's a mark of a hypocrite. He will not always call upon God. And one mark of God's people, of those who know God, those who trust God, those who believe in God, yes, he will, she will call upon God. His faith is demonstrated in the fact that he prayed at all. He called upon him because he knew that he was his God. He knew this. He is my God. He was in affliction, and this caused him to cry, as verse 2 said, and I cried by reason of my affliction. Don't we know that there was that within Jonah that told him, it's no use to pray? What he sensed, what he knew by sin, it's no use to pray. Forget about it. Your situation is so bad, it's not going to do you any good to pray. But Jonah prayed. I think about the beginning of Psalm 73 when the psalmist said, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, Jonah, I'm sure he may have thought the same thing. God is good. God is good to Israel, to his people. But as for me, here I am in this fish. You know, earnest prayer is often born out of affliction. Many times our prayers become so haphazard and so formal, we don't even hardly think of them as prayer. But when God brings affliction, we get down to business then. We get down on our knees then, don't we? And cry. Like Jonah, I cried unto the Lord. Got serious about this now. Demonstrated his faith. Now the second thing about his faith, Jonah took comfort in God's mercy. We know this because he said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, Jonah didn't know which way was up, hardly. He didn't know which way was east, west, north, or south, but yet he said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. He knew. Now, this is what he knew. He was in that fish. He couldn't see anything. He didn't know where he was other than at the bottom of the sea. But he knew that in Jerusalem there was a temple. And it was all about God being merciful to sinners. That temple in Jerusalem. He knew it was all about God being merciful to sinners. He knew there was a priest in that temple. He knew that. He knew there was a brazen altar in that temple. And he knew that there were sacrifices offered upon that altar that were a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And he knew that in that temple there was a mercy seat sprinkled with blood. He knew that. He knew that God is a God of mercy. He knew that it was at that mercy seat that God had declared, "There I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony." Jonah, he knew that God is a God of mercy. I'm thankful tonight that I know that. Aren't you? I'm thankful that God taught me one time that mercy deserved is not mercy. Well, I don't deserve it. That wouldn't be mercy if you did. Did Jonah deserve mercy? Of course not. We've seen his rebellion. We've seen God dealing with his sin by having him put into the ocean. Did he deserve mercy? Of course not. But no one ever deserves mercy. That mercy seat, or the temple. The temple is a picture of Christ, isn't it? He said, "Destroy this temple," speaking of his body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up." And that mercy, and he's the priest. He's the priest who offers himself as a sacrifice upon his deity. He's the propitiatory, the mercy seat. Jonah took comfort in God's mercy. And number three, Jonah's confidence in God grew, or his faith, I believe, grew. You know, faith is a grace that grows. It's like any other grace. And the most important thing, you know this, you know what I'm going to say here, you know the most important thing about faith is the object. The object. Someone said, "Well, I have great faith." Well, is your great faith in Christ? Or is your great faith in your faith? I wouldn't think it's very great if it is. The most important thing about faith, whether it's little faith, small faith, or great faith, remember that woman who the Lord said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord." That's right. That's right. But even the small dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And our Lord said, "I have not seen such great faith in Israel." There were two people that the Lord Jesus Christ commended for having great faith, and both were Gentiles. Both were Gentiles. We see Jonah's faith grows, I believe, because notice in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, where he's at the bottom of the sea, he was assured of God's deliverance. "Thou hast brought up my life from corruption." Oh, but Jonah, you're still in the fish. You're still in the belly of the fish at the bottom of the sea. That's true, but he speaks of it as present. I think about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, when he said, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Who shall? That's future. Who shall deliver me? I thank God. That's present. I thank God through Jesus Christ. He's the one who's going to deliver us. We see Jonah, even though he was at the bottom of the sea, he confesses that the Lord has brought up his life from corruption. His deliverance had not yet come, but he speaks of it as present. And in that chapter in Hebrews 11 that speaks of faith, we are told, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." He had not seen his deliverance yet, but he had faith. He hoped for it. And the last thing, Jonah offered the sacrifices of praise in verse 9. He said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving." And does he not by these words show his assurance that he has been forgiven, that he has been reconciled, that he has been washed from his sins, and that he has been restored to that place of fellowship and communion with God? All took place inside the belly of the fish. Now here, let me ask this question. How are you and I, how are we to relate to this prayer and be encouraged? Well, let me just say this. When we are tempted to believe that all is lost, that there's no hope, look to the temple. Look to Christ. Trust in Him. When tempted to give up, to go back, to turn back, remember when Pilgrim left the city of destruction, that man went with him. Can't think of his name. Someone help me. Who went with him? Pliable. And they fell in that slough of despond. Pliable, when he got out, he headed back home, didn't he? Pilgrim, he got out too. But he didn't go back to the city of destruction. He made his way to the cross, to Christ. When tempted to give up, trust in the Lord and His grace. Remember, David said, I had fainted. I had quit. I had given up. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have given up. I would have fainted, he said. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let me just remind us, we walk by faith, not by sight. Jonah, his faith, his prayer faith is what we see here in this chapter. The Lord willing, we'll take up next time with him being vomited out upon the dry land. Now let's sing a hymn before we're dismissed.